Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
Well, listen, before I get into our last message of the Christmas season, I do want to just jump on the back of the subject that Kelly mentioned a few moments ago, and that is next Sunday is the first Sunday of 2022, and every Sunday, every first Sunday of every year for the last decade or so, I've started it the last week, the same way every single year. I always challenge us as a church, challenge myself personally to spend the first week, the first full week in fasting and prayer unto the Lord. And so that's why we're having special prayer meetings. If you're part of a life group, if you're part of a ministry group, your life group leader, your ministry leader has probably already challenged you to say, hey, let's get together. And they've picked out a certain morning or a certain evening. But all week long, we just challenge people to focus on prayer, focus on fasting. If you've never fasted before in your life, you know, fasting is not about not eating. That's called a diet. If you go a day without eating, you did not fast. You dieted. Fasting is when you take that time that you would spend eating and you devote it to the Lord. You take something you're denying yourself, not just to, not for physical purposes, but for spiritual purposes. And there's a whole sack load of books that you can read about fasting. This season, I've been focusing on a book entitled Fasting for Spiritual Breakthrough. I shared it on my Facebook page. If you've never fasted, and just right now, you just kind of sense a little bit of spiritual curiosity about the subject, I would challenge you this week to buy that book, download it, pray about it, in which way the Lord would challenge you to join us next week. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm just challenging you to do something, and I believe God's going to restore it and repay it to you multitudes of times over. I'll talk to you more about that next Sunday, but I just wanted to begin to till the ground a little bit this morning to say simply this. Let's believe for God to do things in 2022 we've never seen Him do before. I just want to say that again. Let's believe for God to do things in 2022 that we've never seen Him do before. If there's one thing that the whole last 2 years, the pandemic, if there's one thing that I believe it has done to people in general and to the church in general is this, is that we used to be really good about dreaming ahead and visualizing ahead, but when life began to be unforeseeable, it changed in unforeseeable ways, what happened is some of us stopped looking ahead like we used to look ahead. And I believe God's wanting us to dream again. He's wanting us to receive a vision again from God, not just for our church, but for your individual family. And that doesn't come because you have a great idea. Let me just tell you this morning, I'm not even preaching about this, but here you go. There's the free dose for you this morning. You do not need another great idea for your life. You need a God idea for your life. And listen, you can get great ideas from books, you can get great ideas from friends, you can get great ideas on social media, but friends, your great idea won't last past January the 3rd. What you need is a God idea, and God ideas are found in His Word, they're found by His Spirit, and they're found in times of prayer and fasting. So I just challenge you, begin to let that simmer this week, and let's come together next week believing for more than we've ever seen before. There's a button in my car that I love. There's a button in my car. It doesn't matter where I am in the continental United States. Doesn't matter how lost I am or how far away from home I am. There's a button in my car that's simply labeled home. Any of you have that button in your car? And no matter where I am, I can hit the home button, and within a few seconds, it tells me how to get from where I am back home. Now, when I bought my car, I had to make sure I put my address in there and not someone else's address in there because I bought it used. But you know, wherever I am, it's amazing how easy it is to find directions today. I mean, men used to get made fun of because we would rather stay lost for 6 days than to stop and ask for directions. And now because of Googles and phones and navigation systems in our cars, you know, we're kind of getting over that. We've taken the shame away. We just punch it in. And we don't just get directions anytime we want to. We get directions how we want to get them. Some of you in this room, you have too much pride for a lady. Men, I'm just talking to men for a minute. Some of you have too much pride for a lady to give you direction, so you change Siri's voice into a man Siri on your navigation. Some of you don't like Americans to tell you how to act, so you've had a British person tell you how to drive. But we've learned how to get directions, and we can get them in any accent we want, in any tone of voice we want. We can tell the directions, the navigators, to give us the fastest directions or the shortest directions or the most economical directions. We can get our directions that avoid tunnels, that avoid dirt paths, that avoid certain parts of towns. We can get our guidance any way we want to. But this morning, I want to talk to you about getting guidance from God. See, the last thing about the Christmas story I want to share this morning is about how God guides us. Did y'all know God is in the guiding business? He really is. You cannot read the Christmas story without seeing how evident God's guidance is. As a matter of fact, we're going to look at the book of Matthew, just the first chapter or two. You're going to see how the Christmas story gets interrupted over and over and over again by God-given guidance. Let's look. We're going to kind of do a sword drill this morning. Instead of just reading one text, we're going to look at several, so just hang with me. Matthew chapter 1 says, now this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. In other words, Joseph was hitting eject on being part of Jesus' story. Right? He said, hey, I didn't sign up for this. But in verse number 20, the Bible says that as he considered doing this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and told him, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. So we see that even from the outset of the story of Jesus, that there was God's guidance interrupting what Joseph was going to do. And then in Matthew chapter 2, we read a few weeks ago about some wise men that came from Jerusalem, or that came to Jerusalem seeking Jesus. And in verse number 2, it says that we saw his star. In essence, they say, and it guided us here. In chapter 2, verse number 12, it says, when those same wise men got ready to leave where Mary and Joseph and Jesus were, that God warned them, God guided them in a dream not to go back the way they came, and don't go by Herod's house again and tell them where you found Jesus, but instead go home a different way. And we see how God guided them, protected Jesus through them listening to the Spirit. And then in verse number 19, when Herod, we see that Joseph, or sorry, verse number 13, we see where Joseph had another dream where God told him to flee the land, to go to Egypt, because Herod would try to kill the child. And so they flee, they leave where they were, they go to Egypt to hide out for some time because Herod was wanting to kill them. Then in verse number 19, we see that God guided Joseph again. He appeared again in another dream and said, listen, it's now safe to go back home because those who were seeking your lives are gone. I'm just saying that all through the Christmas story, you can see how God was guiding his people. And I'm convinced at the conclusion of 2021, at the beginning of 2022, God is still in the guiding business for you and for me. So, Father, we thank you for this word. And we know that it never returns void, but it always goes forth to accomplish what you want it to accomplish. So, Lord, we just pray this morning, the word of God to work. Work in me, work in this congregation, and do the needed work in all of our lives. So help me today to speak what you want spoken. Help us to hear what the Spirit's saying. And we'll all give you thanks. Everybody in the room said amen. Five times in a relatively short time, God spoke to Joseph. God spoke to wise men. God spoke to shepherds. God spoke to the family on what to do, where to move, when to stay still, when to go, all for the purpose of God's plan in their life. And I want to tell you, just as God moved in the story of Christmas, God still wants to move and guide our lives today. Now, some of you may be thinking, well, Pastor, that's easy to believe that God guided Joseph. It's easy to believe that God guided some wise men. It's easy to believe that God guided the first family, if you will, to one place and out of another. I mean, obviously God guided them because he is Jesus. He's God's only son. But I want to remind you something this morning. You also are a child of God. I want to remind you also this morning that everything you have read about the Christmas story this Christmas, everything about Jesus coming to earth was about one thing. It was about God bringing salvation to you. I mean, it is true to say that Jesus is the reason for the season. But it's also true to say that you are the reason for the season. Because God so loved the world, God so loved you that he sent Jesus. Christmas is the declaration that God loves you. And those that God loves, he what? He guides. God is desiring to guide your life today. Some of you think you're just running aimlessly. You're just some random speck on planet Earth that has no purpose or no plan. But friends, I want to tell you, God does have a plan for your life, and he wants to speak it to you. It may not be audible like the voice on your GPS system in your car. It may not be predictable like the map shows you in advance. It may not be on your timetable. You know, I play this game with my GPS. If I tell it I'm going to go to Branson, and it tells me I can be there in 3 hours and 21 minutes, internally I just think this: you want to make a bet? I think I can stop, get the kids in the bathroom, and still beat their time. And I usually do. But God's guidance doesn't always work like that. Can anyone testify God's guidance doesn't always work like that? But it always works. And I've discovered if I'm in a season where it doesn't feel like I'm being guided by God, all that simply means is for me to put on my seatbelt and hold still a while longer, because eventually I'm going to see how God is guiding me even through seasons that I don't understand, that I'd rather avoid, that I'd rather just fast forward through. Even in those seasons, God is guiding me. We can see through the Word of God that we can... You know, God guided Moses by speaking to him through a burning bush. We can see where God guided the children of Israel by being a cloud by day and a fire by night. We can see that sometimes it was a still, small voice that guided his people. Sometimes it wasn't a fire, it wasn't a wind, it wasn't even a small voice. It was just someone that had a word in season that spoke the right word at the right time in the right place, and it was enough to give someone the direction they needed to keep on serving God. I wonder in this room, have you ever had a word in season where somebody just told you exactly what you needed to hear the moment you needed to hear it? Maybe they didn't even know that they were a messenger sent by God, but you know they were a messenger sent by God. And friends, I believe today that God has sent me to be a messenger of God to you, to let you know that God has a plan for your life. You're not some leftover part. You're not wandering aimlessly. You're not a spare part. God has a plan for your life this morning, and he wants to guide you. And the way God guides us is too numerous to predict. I wish I knew how God's going to speak to me the next time, because it would make my life a lot easier. But God doesn't always speak to me the same way. Sometimes he uses people. Sometimes he uses a small voice. Sometimes he uses people that I've never seen before. But he guides us. I want to talk to you this morning why and how God guides us, knowing right up front, knowing that I'm not going to cover every why and every how. But I do want to show you a few whys and hows from Matthew's gospel this morning. And the first way that God always guides us is this: God always guides us to Jesus. The wise men said that we saw his star when it rose, and we've come to worship him. These men had walked hundreds and hundreds of miles because they saw a star, or what they thought was a star, and they said, there is something drawing us, and we don't really know exactly what we were supposed to be looking for. We think it's a star because of Daniel's writings, but they knew it was the star that would lead them to Messiah. And so they followed day after day, night after night, trying to find their way to Jesus. And friends, here's one thing I know about God in your life. He is always, always, always leading you closer to Jesus. What is God going to do in your life in 2022? Here's what He wants to do. He wants to lead you closer and closer and closer to Jesus. You know, matter of fact, even before you knew Jesus, and maybe you're in the room today and you're still in that camp, you're still kind of checking out the whole Jesus thing, the whole Christian thing. Maybe you're just here because you're in town with a family member and you'd rather be somewhere else. Did you know even before you come to Jesus, Jesus is guiding our life? John says that no one comes to the Father unless the Father draws them. In other words, none of us in this room, we're not Christ followers because one day we got smart enough to become a Christ follower. We're Christ followers because while we were still doing our own thing, God went spiritually fishing and He got a hold of our heart and He began to reel us in. He began to reel us closer and closer and closer to His side, which gives me a lot of hope today, because there's some people that I look at their lives and I think, man, they are so lost. They've drifted so far. There's no person, there's no way that God can reach them. But I remember the same God that reached me is working in this moment to draw them as well. Jeremiah chapter 31 says, the Lord has said in the past, I have loved you with an everlasting love, therefore I have drawn you with loving devotion. Hosea chapter 11 says, I led them with cords of kindness and ropes of love. Can I just tell you this morning, I know a lot of you received gifts yesterday. I hope you liked what you got. But, you know, the Word says over and over again, the only true blessings in our life, the only really good gifts come from God. And He uses those gifts to draw us closer and closer to Himself. And you may be thinking, well, Pastor, you know, this is a nice little quote, a nice point that God guides us, but I'm in the middle of a dilemma today. I've got a decision to make about my job. I've got a decision to make about a relationship. I've got a decision to make about my finances. I got a decision to make that's great, that God always leads us to Jesus, but I need something a little bit more specific than that, because I am dealing with real life issues. But can I tell you, I've discovered that all the big decisions in my life are usually opportunities for God to bring me closer to Jesus. Are there an opportunity for the enemy to steal me away from Jesus? You know, as a kid, we used to play this game. And it may have a name, and if it does, I've forgotten it. But we would have this name where someone would pick out an item. Say it was that iPad right there. And we would start searching for it. And you would just wander around the house, sometimes blindfolded, sometimes your eyes closed, and sometimes your eyes just open. We'd play different ways. But as you get closer to the item, they would say things like this. You're getting warmer. You're getting warmer. Anybody ever play that? You're getting warmer. You're getting colder. You're getting warmer, warmer, hot, 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 cold, cold, cold. You ever played that? Some of you had a most boring childhood in the world, I can tell. Stay after service. When we're done praying for people, I'll play with you after service. We'll play the game so you can experience it. God draws us to Jesus. And those choices that you think have nothing to do with spirituality at all, many times if you listen, God will speak to you. Hey, this choice is going to make you warmer and warmer towards God. Is going to take you closer and closer to the things of God. Or He'll tell you, hey, this is drawing you away from me. It's not even about the evil or the goodness of the choice or the item or the job or the person, as it might be your priority with that person or the job or the thing. God always guides us closer to Jesus. Number two, God always guides us into deeper worship of Him. These wise men, they walked, they traveled, and they said, we've come to worship Him. One thing that God is going to do in 2022, if you'll allow him, he's going to lead you into deeper worship of Jesus Christ. It's one of the things the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives today. He is trying to lead us deeper and deeper into relationship with God. He's trying to lead us from a token relationship with God to a deep relationship with God. You know, there's one part about the Christmas story that I think we probably get wrong a lot. That's not our fault. It's the pictures we've seen. You know, most of the time when we see a picture of the nativity scene, we see three shepherds who have three little gifts: frankincense, gold, and myrrh, and they give it to Jesus. But if we read other accounts of the gospel, the Bible says that when those wise men entered into Jerusalem, when they entered into Herod's palace, the Bible says that their arrival made no small commotion. In other words, the whole town was aware of their arrival. And their arrival and their presence was so significant that they went from being foreigners in a town to rushed into Herod's throne room. Let me ask you, do you think three men with three little token gifts are going to catch the attention of the ruler of town? I mean, we have people of high clout and high esteem that fly into our airport all the time, that are in our area in Central Arkansas all the time, that are you know, high up the political food chain. We never hear about it. But yet the whole town was aware. Did you see who's here? Why? Because it wasn't three guys with three tokens. Most scholars believe that there was an entourage of people. The Bible says when they came to Jesus, they didn't just give their token to him. What does it say? It says they opened their treasures. I want to ask you to move from the thought of some little token that these wise men placed at the feet of Jesus to something more like you've seen in the treasure hunt movies. Right? When Nicolas Cage finds the treasure under the New York Garden, right? They opened their treasures unto him. What am I saying is they didn't come to tip their hat to Jesus. They came to give all they had to Jesus, and what they had was significant. They came, and God led them to worship. And I believe in this day, God is challenging many of us to move from giving tokens to God to giving our treasures to God. But why would you say that? Because the Word says where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Let me just ask you this question. Does your most recent worship practices look more like the Pharisees who were in town and would not walk across the street to give honor to Jesus? Or does it look more like the wise men that says it doesn't matter how far it is or what we got to carry or what we got to give, we're going to worship him? See, that's the kind of worship God is leading us into. A worship, I'm going to preach about this in a few months, and you can pretend like it's brand new when I talk about it then, but a worship that is uncomfortable to us. A worship that moves us out of our comfort zone. A worship that moves us out of our convenience, and a worship that moves us into his presence. So God's going to guide us into worship. Number three, maybe we'll get more excited about this one. I hope so. You're kind of quiet on that one. Just saying. Number three, God guides us into divine protection. God spoke to Joseph, said, hey, leave, go to Egypt. After they stay there a while, God speaks to them again, comes back to Galilee. God spoke to the wise men to go home a different way. Every time God spoke to the people and they listened, God was protecting them. What was he protecting them from? He was protecting them from Herod's plan to annihilate the Savior, to take out the Savior. And God's guidance, here's what I want you to pick up on this morning. God's guidance sabotaged the enemy's plan. And I don't know if this is news to you this morning, but the enemy of your soul, the devil, has a plan for your life. And John 10 says that plan is to kill, steal, and destroy you. It's not to please you. It's not to give you pleasure. It's not to make life happy. It's not to make life easy. Understand, when he leads you into sin, when he shows you pictures of compromise, he shows you pictures of glory and gander. But friends, all of that is to lead you to a place of destruction. But when we're guided by God, what happens is you begin to sabotage the enemy's plan for your life, and instead of destruction, you find joy. God's plan is always the antidote to the enemy's plan, which means I've got to be guided by God in 2022 and not by me. See, when I'm led by my emotions, I play into the enemy's plan. When I'm guided by my human perspective, I play into the enemy's plans. When I'm guided by popular opinion that changes about every 37 seconds, I'm guided into the enemy's plans. When I'm guided by doubt and fear instead of faith in God, I'm walking right into the enemy's plans. But when I follow God's commands, when I listen to His Spirit, and I follow His Word, even if I don't understand it, then all of a sudden what I'm walking into is not just the plans of God. I'm walking away from the plans of the enemy, and those things that were meant to destroy me all of a sudden become a platform that I can preach from the rest of my life. So God guides us into places of His protection. Those wise men, just think about this. If they had been caught in the jurisdiction of Herod, they could have been in prison, persecuted, or killed. To listen to the Word of God and obey it, it seemed like the most riskiest thing on planet Earth. And sometimes, oftentimes, many times, applying the Word of God to your life seems risky. But these wise men, one of the things that made them wise was this. Was they knew it was better to follow the words of God than to live by the fear of man. And you and I have got to make the same decision. Number four, God guides us into His protection. They fled Bethlehem. They fled Israel. They went to Egypt. And God guided them into His provision. How did Joseph find the resources to move his... Has anyone moved in the last few years? Anyone bought a new house? Have you discovered when you, it doesn't matter if you think, you know, I'm going to be conservative. I'm going to buy something I can afford. And all of a sudden that thing you can afford, it costs you a lot more than you ever imagined, right? It's just going to take a little bit of renovation. Have you been to Home Depot lately? I mean, when Joseph uproots his family, this is not some, we'll just go from here to there. We'll just find new jobs, find a new place to live. I mean, after all, who doesn't want a good Israelite who's living in Egypt? We've got such a great relationship with them. It's wonderful. How in the world could Joseph uproot his family and go to Egypt just because God says to go? It's because Joseph knew that when I follow God's word, God's provision follows me. Can I tell you, when you follow God's word, God's provision follows you. Psalms 37 says this, I once was young, but now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. Psalms 94 says, the Lord will not cast off His people, nor will He forsake His inheritance. Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 31, verse number 6 says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified by them. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. It doesn't matter if God is calling you across the town, across the street, or across the globe. Where God guides you, He will provide for you every single time. Pastor, I don't think I believe all this stuff you're saying. I mean, I think it was three wise men. After all, that's how CBS showed it on the television two nights ago. It was just three men with three little gifts. But most scholars believe that the riches that Jesus received from the wise men is what sustained them when they moved from Bethlehem to Egypt and back to Galilee. It was one person's worship and their obedience that provided the platform for the work of God through Jesus. Let me ask you a question. I know you know it. When Mary broke an alabaster box of perfume over Jesus' feet and anointed him, Judas got really upset. He got, I think the Greek word says, ticked off. Why did he get upset? The value of the alabaster. And how much was that worth? A year's wages. So it's possible that even if it was just a little picture, like just a little token like the picture portrays, how much is a year's wages? A lot. And that was at least a third, just a third of what Jesus received. So on that first Christmas night, did Jesus receive, what's a year's wages? I don't know how much you make. $30,000 a year, $40,000 a year, $50,000 a year, $100,000 a year. And that's just a third of the valuable things that Jesus received. So let's lowball it. Did he receive $150,000 worth of stuff that first Christmas night? Or was it more than just tokens? Was it really treasures and more like he received $1 million worth of stuff that night? Let me know when you find out the answer. I'm just here to tell you this, that what he received was enough to sustain him in the next season. And obedience to God always brings to you what is needed to sustain you in this season and the next. There have been so many times when God has spoken to me and I to obey him, whether it's in giving, whether it's in serving, whether it's in a time or two, it's been relocation, where I just thought, you know, God, I think I got you this time. I mean, I know you provided last time, but Lord, this time you have called me to do something you cannot sustain. And every time I've been wrong. There were seasons, there were days, there were nights where I thought, you know, I think I finally got him this time. But I don't know. Where God guides, when you follow the word of God, God's provision follows you. Number five, God guides us into fulfilling his word. There's a phrase, verse number 23 of Matthew, where he writes, the family went to live in a town called Nazareth, and this fulfilled what the prophet said when they said he will be called a Nazarene. There's this phrase, that this fulfilled what the prophets had spoken. That phrase is not just used one time in the book of Matthew or in this chapter. Matthew says over and over again how this fulfills what was spoken of the Messiah. This fulfills what was spoken of God. And here's the last thing I want to tell you. God always guides us into keeping his word. And see, when I obey the word of God, when I allow myself to be guided by the Word of God and the Spirit of God, what God guides me to is participating in the work of God that always brings the work of God to pass. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse number 12, maybe if you want to come, says this. The Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am alert and I'm active. Listen to what God says. Watching over my word to perform it. I got to read this to you again in case you're not getting it this morning. I am alert. Who's speaking? The Lord. I am alert and I'm active. Who says that? Listen, I plan on staying late today, so who said that? I am alert. The Lord said it. He said, I'm active and I'm alert. Some of you think God is not active in your life. You're wrong. He's active and he's alert. And he says, and I'm watching over my word to perform it. He's watching over his word to perform it. How many think that God knows what his word says? And he's watching. Does that mean he's just like, he's got a huge Bible in heaven, he's just watching over it? No. What he's watching over is you. What he's watching over is me. He's watching for one person who will align their life with this word. And the moment a person aligns any part of their life with the word of God, it's like a spotlight shines on that person's life. And he says, now I can bless them. Now I can use them. Now they can be a part of my kingdom come, my will being done on earth as I desire in heaven. He's watching over his word, and he's watching over your life, looking for when your life and his word align. And the moment they align, those two things become one track for the glory of God to descend upon your life. That's what he's trying to lead us to this morning. So this morning, I want to ask you, bow your heads today. I just want to simply ask you, are you aware that God is guiding you? Anyone that's followed Jesus for more than a short season could come to the platform, put a microphone in their hand, and testify, I'm sure, that there are seasons when God is guiding us that doesn't seem like God is guiding us at all. There's times when we feel forsaken. But in retrospect, we can see that God was guiding us. God was keeping us. Just as God guided us to salvation before we were even aware that we needed salvation. Some of us, God was guiding us to salvation while out of our mouths were coming things that sounded like we don't want any part of salvation. That's what happened to the Apostle Paul. But God was guiding us unaware. Today, some of you, God has guided you unaware to yourself. Unknown to you, God has guided you to this service. Not to condemn you, or to beat you up, or to punish you, but to give you life and life abundant. To give you joy and peace. That doesn't come from who you are, what you have, but it comes from a love relationship with God the Father who loves you, cares for you. Today, if you're not living for Jesus, if you never surrendered your life to him, I would just challenge you, let this be your day where you say, Lord, I'm just going to respond. I sense you drawing me. That's the word that we used. The word of God uses over and over. God, I just sense you drawing me. Today, you're in the room. Say, Pastor, I feel like the Lord is drawing me closer to him. I'm not a Christ follower, but today I just sense him drawing me. I want to know to pray for you that God would completely finish the work he started this morning by drawing you. Would you just lift a hand real quick? That's me, Pastor. I need to choose Jesus today. Amen. Secondly, this morning, I hope every person will know that God is in the business of guiding our lives. We've had several messages this month. God takes outsiders and he makes them insiders. That with God, nothing is impossible. Pastor Dave spoke about how he is Emmanuel. He's God with us. And today's message is simply this: God guides us. And today, if you're in need of God's guiding presence in your life, I would love to pray for you. And I'm just going to pray that whether his guidance has seemed distant or whether it seemed fresh, that neither feeling would blind you to the reality that he is working with you and in you. He is actively watching for those who will align themselves with His Word. So, Father, I pray today that all of us, as we enter 2022 this week, that we would avail ourselves to Your leading and Your guiding, Your direction. God, sometimes it's a still small voice. Sometimes it's an audible voice. Sometimes it's a word in season by another believer. Sometimes it's through the written Word of God as we read and it just comes alive to us. God, there's multitudes of ways You speak to us. And God, I just pray, speak to us this season. Speak to us, Lord. As Eli told Samuel, speak. We're listening. Lead us, Lord. Guide us, Lord. And we'll follow. Amen. Would you join me by standing today? I shared with you 2 weeks ago that it's just something the Lord kind of laid on my heart, Megan's heart, is that between 2 weeks ago and the conclusion of next week, it's our desire. We can't make this happen. It only happens if You help us. But Megan and I would love to personally pray for every person who considers himself a part of our church. So if you've been here one time or a million times, we would love the privilege of praying for you. So if you need guidance today, I'd love for you to come forward this morning. Let's pray for you. But if you're just part of our church family and there's no real pressing need, we just really feel compelled to end this season praying personally with every person in our church. And so we're going to dismiss you, but Megan and I are going to hang out here for the next 15, however long it takes. We would love to pray with any person, let you hang around, let's pray with you. Pastor Dave and Crystal know about this, so if that means you're a little bit late picking up your kids on the other end, they're aware that this is going on. But as our dismissal today, let me just tell you, God bless you, we love you, and we'll be right here. We'd love to pray with anyone and everyone who allow us to this Sunday and next Sunday. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful remaining week of the year.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.